got there about 5 minutes before the appointment time, and he came in. He said that he wanted to tell me how well I looked, how wonderful it was to see me looking so good, and that he wanted to visit with me a little bit, that he was a half Jew, and that he didn't want to do anything that would contribute to any riots or disorders or bring about any violence, because of his ancestry he was aware of the problems that existed in that field, and he didn't want to say anything that would make them any worse. But his people were very conservative, and while there's a small group in his party that felt strongly about some of these things, he would guess it wouldn't be over 20%, about 80% of them, if they met out on a desert, would really actually, if they had their own way, share his view. And but nevertheless, he didn't want to contribute anything to the mobs and to these things, and we were going to have a great difficulty in places like Mississippi and Alabama. And I told him, well, I had pretty well covered my attitude in my press conference, which he told me he had seen, and that I had come into this office. This bill was pending, and I thought it's better to handle it in the courts than in the streets. And I thought we'd waited for 100 years to make good on the Emancipation Proclamation, but it was a proclamation, but it wasn't a fact. And we ought to have this machinery. So I had asked the Congress for it, and 80% of the Republicans had given it to me in the Senate, a much bigger percentage than even the Democrats. And I had called all members of both parties down and made a television broadcast, signed the bill, and appealed to all of them to observe the law. And I didn't want another Volstead Act or 18th Amendment. That we had instructed the Justice Department to proceed promptly to get a test, and they had Atlanta, and it's on the way to the High Court. And that I felt that as long as we had a law, and that we ought to observe it. And I had 3 meetings in Philadelphia and Los Angeles and Chicago, and asked 2,000 employers to ask their people to observe it. And I'd ask the AFL, the Manufacturers Association, NAM, to get out bulletins to their people, asking them to please cooperate and observe it. That I'd ask the 150 largest contractors of the federal government to do the same thing, and all the NAM and Chamber of Commerce and Business Advisory Council and Committee on Economic Development. And I'd had 150 international vice presidents, the head of the state AFL in each state, AFL-CIO, and I'd had them to the White House for a reception. I just finished with them. And he said, what other groups have you had? It looks like you've had everybody. I said, well, I've talked to the teachers and the college presidents, and I've talked to the preachers, asked them to be helpful, and I have tried not to overlook any group. And, well, he said, I feel that that's good. And I said, well, now here's what I'm going to say about this meeting. And when you leave, and the meeting just said that I reiterated what I'd done and that he agreed. And he said, very well. And he just kind of went out and said, what was this new plane you announced today? And who built it? And I'd like to fly in it. And got off kind of like a kid on a toy. And I told him, and that is it. So I thought you ought to have that background, because I knew you were kind of waiting to see what happened.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that concerned me was that he'd make some kind of further stunt out of it, Mr. President. That was what I had me nervous about.
Well, me too, and I thought that they could have used it very... I thought their intent was to use the White House as kind of a launching pad. But I believe he got in and out without that. I don't know what will follow it.
Well, that was all blamed on him.
Yeah.
He evaded the press.
Now, what happened? Did you locate your fellows in Mississippi yesterday?
Yes.
Who were missing?
Yes. That gave hell to the... You know, they have this foolproof system. Yeah. This is about the third bad evening I've spent on their foolproof system. So we just gave them hell. Said, if you're going to have a system calling in, your people better obey it.
getting into this thing pretty deep now, and that he thinks that New York City is being derelict, and that communist fellow, what's the head of
Gray?
Yeah, Gray. That he ought to be brought to law, and we're overlooking him. Now, let's don't let them. I don't know what's wise, but you keep top of that, and if he's guilty of anything, he ought to be cited for locally. Here, you ought to talk to Wagner about it, and let's don't let go or say that we scrub it under the rug.
I'll talk to Frank Hogan up there.
It looks like. They're withholding that because of some district attorney, and it looks like to me that they're going to give a weapon over the mayor and over the Justice Department, and maybe even over the FBI and the president, if they say, well, the FBI has turned up stuff here on the communist extreme leadership. They just ignored it.
Well, yeah, I think that as far as any arrest goes, it would be locally for inciting to riot and offense under state law, and that would be Wagner's responsibility. And I think there's some difficulties doing it, Mr. President. I'd be happy to talk with him or possibly with Frank Hogan.
I think Hogan.
I think Hogan.
What are their difficulties?
Well, I think they're afraid that
it'll stir it up more.
Yes, it'll stir it up more. But I'll talk with Hogan about that and see whether that's their judgment. I'll do that right away.
If there was some balance to it, is there anything to the stories about some of the extreme right-wing elements? Are any conservatives or birchers or anybody like that in it?
Not that we have anything hard on at the moment. There's just been some speculation and rumors and not even very good rumors. By which I mean, doesn't look to me as though there's
any indication of the Klan
up there. No, sir. And we're checking out George Ball's thing, although it's going to be a little hard to get any hard facts on. I think that's possible. And that's explosive.
Okay. You know anything else I don't know?
No, sir. You mentioned the other day those fellows over in the Pentagon, that October business.
Mm-hmm.
All that was, they thought their investigation would be completed and it would be ready to go at that time, but there was no decision to put it at that time. And no reason why it had to go in October. And it was something we hadn't even thought of over here yet.
Anything I ought to be doing on these school things, you better watch this conciliation service and give them some direction, too, although they're another department. You all have been so close to this thing, you better...
Yeah, they were going to come over yesterday and talk, and then they didn't. I'll get in touch with them this morning. They called it off about four times.
Tell them I want to coordinate very carefully, and I've asked you to give them all the background of y'all's conciliation work and what you've done. I don't know why in the hell you didn't put that in your department. Why'd you let it get over to Commerce? Do you think it would be more palatable?
Yeah. I could have put it over in the executive office of the presidency, but I didn't want it too close to the president.
No, that's
so, the only other place was Commerce. They didn't want it here.
Are you any closer to a solution in Georgia?
No, sir.
Don't we know pretty well that group in that little town, the Klansmen?
Yes, but as far as the solution goes, the evidence, we haven't got it. The same down there, and we got a lot of interesting facts down there in Mississippi. But
what does it look like in Mississippi if you're just speculating wildly?
Well,
I've never had any idea what we might even think happened.
Down there?
Yeah.
Oh, I think the deputy sheriff is one of the people involved.
Now, somebody told me that they thought that when they brought him out that night, a Negro boy had said that they'd been pretty well flogged and beat up before they left the jail. Is there any evidence that that happened?
There's no evidence of that. Nothing we can use yet that's good enough. But there is something on that, yes, sir. And then they have one good hard piece of evidence on that paint on the car. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
No, I'm not.
They found a small scratch on their car, on the burned car,
yeah.
A little bit of paint.
Yeah.
And they've located another car with the same paint. You can get it right down to model, and it has a scratch on it. That's pretty good.
And is it one of the people you normally suspect?
Yeah. So,
what indication it hit it or something?
Yes. And that's pretty hard.
No fingerprints or anything?
No, I don't believe so. I've just gotten about a 1,500-page report that John Doerr's been going through. I haven't been through it myself. I will. They'll break that case, Mr. President.
Well, I just sure hope we can. And I think that if we could get some statement some way that really involved the communists and the Klan, kind of one balancing the other, showing that it's not just a lot of people think that we associate with the more liberal groups, but if we could balance it off that way and get out some statement, I think it'd be good in the next few days. I think we ought to, and I wish you'd talk to Hovey and tell him we don't want Rockefeller coming in here and saying that we brushed it under the rug and that he's calling up and he's talking.
Yes.
And he's thinking he's going to have to step in, and he may want to do that to show that he's liberal, but he's not going to let subversion take place. You see what I mean?
Yes. Yes, Mr. President, I do. And I think maybe if he could find a couple of whites to arrest along with a Negro, might not have the same result, but just arresting Negro leaders.
If you don't mind, I think it'd be good. What did y'all do on this Williams resolution on violation of ticket sales and so forth? What have you found on that? Didn't he ask y'all to make a study and report?
Yes,
what are you going to do about it?
We have nothing on that. We went down to see him. That was the first thing. I sent the bureau down there, and he didn't have a damn thing. They got that on the record, and then we've gone over, and there's really nothing in the way of indication of pressure. And we're balancing that against something the Republicans accidentally did, which was a clear violation of law, which was to mail in a lot of requests using a mailing list. And they included such people as the Attorney General and myself here at the Department of Justice, addressed Dear Fellow Republican. And it's not a thing you prosecute for, but it's something that'll balance off and when we report back to them.
Aren't you pretty friendly with Dirksen?
Yes, sir.
What would you think about calling him and say you see in the paper this morning that he suggested a resolution that you thought you'd like to look at on this study of conflicts of interest and extracurricular activities, and would he give you a copy of it and give you his idea on it? It looks like to me it might be a pretty good bipartisan solution. He suggests a committee of the House and the Senate, and four each, and nine appointed by the president, the 17-man committee, to kind of patrol and monitor the House and Senate and Executive Department. And they might set up some ethical standards along the line the president did when he came in on gifts and stuff, and then they might do it, though, on kind of like we have on your holdings. And particularly if we name nine of them, we could get some real outstanding nonpartisan fellows. It seems to me it might be a pretty decent thing to do to give a confidence to the country. Do you have any reaction to that?
I think it would be. I think it might be a very good thing to do. And if that kind of a thing can be depoliticized, it's terribly helpful.
I think so. Now you take the body.
People like Gross and Williams, no help at all.
I don't know. You take matters now like Billy Saul Estes and Bobby Baker that they're talking so much about, and you really get down to it from what I've been able to observe, and they've charged it with us. The only real fixing that was done there, so far as I can tell, Baker never called a government agency and asked them to do anything or forced them to do anything or put any pressure on them, but John Burns did have a good deal of stock and did introduce a bill and did get the Treasury under Eisenhower to reverse a ruling, turn upside down so that that magic outfit could get going.
Yeah.
But when they caught him, he gave the money back, and everything's at our front door. I guess there's no violation of the law. I'd like to be damn sure of that before getting this campaign too deep. A man introducing a bill and then going to get the Treasury to get a ruling and buying some of the stock, and then when he gives the money back. Any law violated there?
I don't think there was. We went into that with Congressman Burns and